I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm certainly looking forward to teaching and preaching what I'm going to preach. I want you to know, though you don't know me, I enjoy helping people. I really enjoy helping people. The lives of people more important to me than anything. A lot of people really make money important. I've really tried to minimize that in my life. I think the treatment of people and helping people is the greatest thing that any human being can do with their life. I want to help us today. My sermon will not be bombastic, but I believe my sermon will be far-reaching. I believe the sermon will be, it's going to reach deep. Some of you did not realize what God was going to do for you today at church. You didn't expect that God was going to help you like He is about to help you. I hope that you'll listen very carefully. The title of my sermon this morning is simple. It's one word. It's called bitterness. Bitterness. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Romans. The book of Romans. If you're not a born-again Christian, this is going to apply to you. We will help you with the need of salvation at the end of the hour. But to everyone, both the saved and the unsaved, please listen today. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, we're going to go to verse number 10. I would like us to stand now. Romans chapter 3, verse number 10. Romans 3:10. If you have a cell phone on, make sure you turn it off. Let's not walk in and out of the service because the sermon is so critical. We don't want to interrupt people's thinking. Romans chapter 3, verse number 10, it says this. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace have they not known. Look back at me, if you will. Here, the Bible is giving us a list of sins. It's talking about deceit. It's talking about shedding innocent blood. Murder. Do you understand that right in the same list of the sin of murder, right beside the sin of murder is this word, bitterness. Most people would not classify bitterness as a sin that should be in the same list with murder. But God does. God does. You say, why? Well, sin, the sin of murder can in one moment snuff out a life. Do you understand what bitterness does? It's a prolonged, long-lasting type of a miserable sin. It's very interesting. I believe in a supernatural way that God is going to help some people today. And there's some of you, you need desperate help with what I'm about to teach, bitterness. Our Father, meet with us today. Lord, I have no intent of trying to impress anybody, but I sure would like your Spirit to impress upon us all the truth. May young and old alike grow and even conquer the sin of bitterness in their life. There are people that are right now so heavy of heart and life, and it is not because of something that happened yesterday. It's because of this thing called bitterness. Spirit of God, I am inadequate to deliver the truth, and so I'll step out of the road. I'll just be a vehicle, and I'm asking you to drive. Do something to change a life. And many lives eternally. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat if you will. I want to say to you that the people in this building, even if you're a guest today, though it might be hard for you to understand and believe, as a pastor, I love you and I'm glad that you're here. I want to be your friend and I want to help you. I look around in our homes and our schools, our churches, and I find bitter people. It's often a sin that you can't see. Now, sometimes you can. You can tell. There are times when expressions and behaviors tell us something's going on inside somebody. But it's possible that somebody could have a smile on the outside and have deep bitterness on the inside. Let me tell you something that you need to hear. Bitter people, eventually they rebel. They rebel against authority. They rebel against parents, pastors, the civil authorities, God, in marriage. See, that bitter spirit that starts out in one area of life soon spreads to other areas. Someone that said, well, I'm bitter at home. Well, you're probably going to end up being bitter at church and at school and at work too. Bitterness isn't the kind of a sin where you can stop it in one area. It eventually spreads. It's like the roots of a tree. You planted the tree because you wanted to see what was coming up out of it. But before long, its roots are all over the yard, and bitterness is kind of that way in your life. You might say, I'm bitter at this one thing, but you didn't realize the roots were going to get into every relationship of life. Bitterness is a little bit like a snake bite. There's poison that hits you in one area. And what happens? It spreads. The poison can get to your arms and to your legs and to your heart, to your head. Here's what happens. Bitterness hinders love from flowing. Bitter people are not real good in the love category. I think that when we are bitter, we hinder love. You hinder it from others to you, and then you hinder it from you to others. For instance, I said to people in this room earlier, you don't know me, but I love you. And there's someone that said, I don't believe that. Matter of fact, there are people in here that know me, that I could tell them that I love them. They have a hard time believing that. What's happened? It's probably a root of bitterness somewhere, because you're a hard person. You're a hard receiver of love. And I'm going to explain why in a little while. And so you know, I'm not mad at you. I'm just going to explain it to you. I'm going to try to help you. I'd like to get the poison out. You ever seen the old cowboy western, the snake bites, and the cowboy pulls out the pocket knife and he cuts it? Well, we're going to suck some poison out of that thing today if we can. And again, people, we don't always know who is and who's not bitter. But I believe that bitterness, it slows down this flow of love. Bitterness is in part the result of our being hurt. You say, I got hurt and I'm bitter. Sometimes we hurt ourselves. And if we're not careful, bitterness can come. Sometimes somebody hurts us, so we can get bitter. Sometimes we think God did something to us. And so you all know, God always does something for you, not to you. If you're a to-you person, you're probably struggling with bitterness, because ours is a for-you God. As a result of this hurt that comes, whether it's self-inflicted, others inflicted, or we presume God inflicted, we want to protect ourselves. That makes sense. Hurt's coming at you, you want to protect yourself. So it's almost as if we decide we will build an emotional barrier. It's an emotional wall of protection. And I say to myself, I got hurt. I don't want to get hurt again. I therefore am going to build a wall. And if you could picture me using mortar and brick, and I'm building me a wall because you could hurt me, and I'm going to build a wall. But then I get to thinking, wait a minute. Maybe my hurt's not going to come from that direction. I better put some bricks over here. And I'm going to build me a wall over here, because not only could the hurt come from in front of me, it could come from the left. And then I get to looking over here and I say, well, you know what? Somebody could come at this direction. So I build me some bricks over here, because I'm going to build a wall so I don't get hurt. And then God knows you could get it from the back. You say, I already got stabbed from the back once. I better get me a wall. And I start building. And I'm putting bricks on this thing. Because that one hurt caused me to think there could be many hurts, and I don't want to suffer any hurts, so I got to protect myself. So I'm building a wall. And I'm thinking, yeah, there are some creeps that could climb over the wall, so I think I'll roof this thing in. So, boy, I'm a building it. Before long, I'm in here, and I'm relatively safe from what I can tell. And lonely. And shut out from the world. Someone yells in, "Hey! Are you in there?" You couldn't hear. You put yourself in a bomb shelter, and here's what happens. Now, when did you know not everybody's out to hurt you? You ladies that have been hurt, did you know that not every man alive is going to hurt you like that? You men that have been hurt, not every woman alive is going to hurt you like that. But because you got hurt, you built a bomb shelter, you live in it. The problem is, somebody tries to love you, not only have you tried to keep the hurt out, but when somebody tries to love, it doesn't get in. Why? You got a wall built. Somebody says, "I love you." You say, "I doubt it." "I love you." "I'll never trust that again." Somebody tries to get close, they can't. Why? You don't want to get hurt. Then you want to go to love, and though you don't realize it, when you go to love, not only have you kept love from getting in, you're keeping love from getting out. Most bitter people are not known as deep lovers of people and lovers of others. I'll tell you what, I had to protect myself through life that I did not get bitter, because it's my job to love people. And if all the hurts of life cause me to say I'm going to pull in and I'm never going to help anybody because I don't want to take the chance of getting hurt, then I'm never going to get the love of Christ that ought to flow through me to other people. I'll never get it out. And I'll never get any in. And I say to some people in here, I know that you got hurt. Maybe you caused a little bit of it. Maybe you didn't. Maybe somebody else hurt you. Maybe you were an innocent victim. And you know what? I'll just agree with you. Maybe you didn't deserve it. Okay, but I'm just telling you, as you go to protect yourself, if you're not careful, there will be an emotional overkill to the point where you shut your emotions off because you say, "I don't want to be hurt." But you're not only going to shut off the things that could hurt you, you're going to shut off some things that could help you. People are my business. It's what I do. And I love doing it, so you know. Some of you, you're never going to learn to love right until you get this bitterness thing cared for. Nor are you really going to be a good absorber of love, receive right, because you put a wall up to keep things from getting in, but it's also keeping things from getting out. I think there are some of you that would like to say to someone, "I love you," but it's hard for you to say, "I love you." And even when you do, it comes out to be a little bit shallow. You say, why? The distance between you and them, there's a wall in between you. And it's almost like when you go to say, "I love you," they hear it like this. "I love you." Why? You're in your bomb shelter. That wall is bitterness. When we think that we can contain bitterness, we lie to ourselves. Here's what we think. We think that we can target that with which we want to be bitter. A husband can say, "My wife hurt me," or a wife could say, "My husband hurt me," or a child could say, "My dad hurt me." And I'm choosing to be bitter. I'm angry. I'm upset. I'm hurt. So the wife says of her husband, "I'm going to be angry. I'm going to hold a grudge. I'm not going to let this go." So the target set, and we think I can leave it right there. You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to target Uriah. I'm going to be bitter with you. And I may think that I'm able to target Uriah and that he's the one I'll be bitter with. And he's the one I'm going to have that hidden anger with. And he's the one that's going to affect my relationship. And it's going to stop right there. But I'm very sorry to tell y'all, it doesn't stop there. When you allow the root of that bitterness in your life, it starts with the target and then it begins to spread out. And before long, you're not only angry and hateful with one, but there are others. And you don't think that. You say, well, there's only one person that I'm hateful, vengeful, angry with. There's only one. I'm sorry. And the longer it's been there, the more people you have affected, and you don't even realize how effective it is. It is branching out. You ever been to the nursing home and found the 85-year-old person that hates everybody and everything, and they're as miserable and hateful as they could be? You walk in with flowers and candy and everything else, and they're, get out of my room! And you're thinking, what did I do to you? You didn't have to do anything to them. They got bitter when they were 20 years of age, and they said, I'll have one target I'll go after, and it's not going to affect anything in my life. And it ruined marriage after marriage and relationship after relationship, and they don't get along with their kids, and they didn't get along with their boss, and they didn't get along with their parents. They couldn't get along at church. They were hateful, spiteful, vengeful, and in the end, they were a nasty, vile, vicious, wicked old person. Because what happened when they were 18? It's called bitterness. There are people sitting in this building. You're bitter. You say, do you know? No, God knows. I don't know. God knows. We think we can control it. But what happens is we start out thinking we can control it, but then, as it so well does, it controls us. And you think, I'm getting them. We think that we can hurt them. Now that's vengeance, so you know. That's a sin too. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We say, you know what? If I'm bitter, if I'm angry, if I'm hateful toward that one person, I'll hurt them. You know something? If you're angry with me and you set out to hurt me and you set out to emotionally get me, did you know I could do this? Did you know that you have no assurance that because you're vengeful or you're bitter toward me that you are hurting me? You don't choose whether you hurt me or not. I choose whether I'm going to be hurt or not, but can I guarantee you one thing? The one person you are 100% sure to hurt if you're bitter is you. It's you. The one you're going to hurt the most is you. Somebody here is bitter with God. You got shortchanged in life. Look, if you're not in hell, you're on the winning side right now. There's somebody here, you're bitter with a husband, a wife, an ex, maybe even bitter with yourself. You know, sometimes we let ourselves down. It can affect us in all these ways. Now, let me help you so that you don't destroy you. People who get bitter, they leave church and they go hurt themselves. Bitterness gets into your life, you'll get away from the Lord. Some of you, you've come back to the Lord in recent months or years. You were away from Him because probably bitterness crept into your life. You can leave your mate and find yourself even more bitter. Oh, just be careful. So you know, bitter people are lonely people. You say, why? Well, they live in a bombshell. They think they're doing themselves and everybody a favor, and they're not. They're lying to themselves. And you know something? I believe you've been hurt. If there's anybody in here that's not been hurt, see me after the service. I need your counsel. And the longer you live, the more hurt you're going to experience. Just because of the length of life, the number of relationships. Being hurt, though, let me explain. You being hurt gives you no right to hurt others, nor does it give you a right to hurt the cause of Christ and the testimony you're supposed to have for Him. There are a lot of reasons why people get bitter. Let me give you a few of them. I'm going to give you a solution in a moment. I think sometimes we get bitter because a lack of time and interest by those that are supposed to love us most. A young person, a child, a teenager can find themselves bitter with mom and dad, maybe because they feel like they never get any time with them. Daddy gets up in the morning and he goes to work, and he's gone to work all day long. He gets home at night. He sits down to glance at the newspaper, falls asleep. Mom wakes him up. He grabs a bite. Then he takes his pre-bedtime nap. And you think, I just never get any time with my dad. And you know what? I'm sorry. You young people, mom and dad are busy. And may I recommend something to you before you let that bitterness that creeps in where you're angry with your dad or you're angry with your mom because they're so busy and you don't seem to get the time that you would like to have with them. Let me recommend something to you. Don't be too judgmental until you're a mom and a dad. Till you realize what it takes to get up in the morning and to work all day long and to pay the bills and how tired you are when you do get home. And how tired you are from life. I would have a little mercy, and let me say to every parent here, you need to figure out a way to take time for your kids. But I know boys and girls and teenagers that are bitter because of they just didn't get time with mom and dad. You know what? You probably did get hurt. But what I'm trying to tell you is if you're bitter, I want to help you with it. It could destroy your life. You say, I want more time with my mom and dad. So you know what we do? We're mad and we're bitter with our parents. So you know how we punish them? We don't want to be with them. Now, wait a minute. How is it what I wanted was time with my mom and my dad and it affected me and turned me sour? So the way I'm going to punish them is I'm going to ignore them. Don't want them in my room. Don't want them around me. Don't want to spend any time with them. You're a genius. There's no solution in withdrawal. What's your issue? What is it that's brought on your bitterness? What is, I'll use it, the word excuse. What is it? Maybe you think a brother or sister. Maybe you think somebody in life has been favored over you. You can go to work and somebody can get a raise that you wanted. You know how many people I have watched get caught up in what I would call shop or workplace politics and everything, and they thought they deserved the raise and they didn't get the raise and somebody else got the raise and they got bitter and they got mad and now they hate the boss and they quit their job. Now they're a job hopper. It's not long. They're living under a train bridge. You say, not possible. Check up on it. Because somebody got something we wanted. Maybe you have a brother that you think mom and dad favor over you. Or maybe you have a sister that mom and dad favor over you. And parents, let me say, you ought to love all your children. And then sometimes you'll have a child that's athletically inclined, and other times you're going to have people that are scholastically or educationally inclined, but you better be careful comparing the two. I've watched dads that wanted their boys to grow up and be athletic, and they were not, so they belittled one boy. And I'm just telling you, if you're not careful, you're going to cause jealousy and bitterness with your children. And young people say, I've been hurt like that. Okay, maybe you have, maybe you haven't. I don't know. I'm not trying to be the judge, but I am telling you this. If you're bitter about it, you're going to hurt yourself, and you're hurting yourself. Sometimes it's not getting the time that we feel like we need from the people that we love. Sometimes our bitterness comes because there's favoritism showed in life, and sometimes we get bitter because we feel like our spiritual leaders have let us down or dropped the ball. Listen and don't talk. Listen now. We think a spiritual leader has disappointed us. And to every leader in here, whether it's parent or boss or big brother or big sister or whatever type of a leader, and everybody in here is leading someone, may I say to everybody, let's be careful that we don't let people down, because bitterness can creep into followers quite quickly. Boy, in the day and age in which we live, the devil's very, very powerful, and the devil is, he's not for families staying together. There may be some young person in here saying, my dad ran off and left us. My mom had to raise me, my brother, my sister alone. And you feel that ache. Maybe it's vice versa. Some spiritual leader disappointed you. I know a young person that was causing fits. And when I say young person, virtually a young adult in their mid-20s. I was at a church in California. The pastor said, that 24-year-old young man back there has been a fit for our church. He's been nothing but trouble for years. And the boy said to me, he said, Brother Owens, could I get a minute with you? I want to ask you a question. He said, what do you do when your youth director just ups and leaves you and doesn't care about you? And I said, son, did that happen? He said, a few years back, our youth director just left. He said, I decided I just didn't want to serve God anymore. He said, if that's such a joke to my youth director, You know what happened? That boy let bitterness get in his heart over that. And so, folks, I'm sorry. Sometimes we get disappointed by leaders. My teacher was a fake. Some of you go to a Christian school and you watch in the Christian school and you know that their teacher misbehaving, and you get this idea that Christianity is all a big, it's a fake, it's a facade. And just so you all know, because there is a teacher or because some leader didn't do the right thing, that doesn't make all leaders phonies, and that doesn't make all those people bad. Not everybody out there is like that. And if you're not careful, though, you build that wall. You say, I don't want to get hurt anymore. I've been hurt. Remember, you're shutting good things out that need to come in, and you're shutting good things in that need to come out. And you're hindering some of the hurt, but the only person you can for sure hurt is yourself. And that's the inward turmoil that bitterness creates. It is an emptiness, a loneliness. Virtually at times will come across as a rage and a hatred. And it is self-destructive. You know, you say, well, my preacher left. I was in church and my preacher left. Let me tell you, the church where I grew up, my first preacher came and he said, well, we were going to build this church and be faithful. And I watched him resign. And I was just a kid and I hurt. My second preacher came and he was there for 3 years. He resigned. I'd just given him my heart. And then my third preacher came. And then my fourth. And then my fifth. The preacher comes and say, be faithful. And I'm thinking, yeah, like the other five guys. But I'll tell you the one thing I did not allow happen by the grace of God. I've never lost my confidence in the man of God. I just never have. I decided I'll try again. There's some of you, you shut your heart off a long time ago. You got burnt by some spiritual leader. You said, never again. I'll tell you, you have hurt yourself desperately. I would rather be hurt and attempt than to never attempt, because you've heard the old saying, better to have loved and lost than to have never loved, and better to have trusted and got burned a little bit along the way than to have never trusted, because it is so lonely, it is so self-destructive to never trust again. I know women that have been hurt by a man and they hate all men, and you are wrong, and that is an injustice, and God would never, never agree with you that that is correct. Bitterness will destroy you from the inside. Bitterness will overtake you. Bitterness will corrupt your thinking. It'll tear you to shreds. And by the way, I'm not trying to do something to you right now. I'm trying to get you to face the reality of what the devil can do to the inside of you. He'll steal your joy. He'll steal your new lease on life, the happiness and the joy that's available to all of us. You'll not have it. With bitterness, you say, what's the big deal about bitterness? It's listed right by murder. I hate it, but there's an absence of approval in life that can bring bitterness. Somehow we tend to always notice one another's negatives. Husbands can always figure out what's wrong with the wife, and the wife can always figure out what's wrong with the husband, and parents can always figure out what's wrong with the kids, and bosses can always figure out what's wrong with the follower. But let me say to everybody, there's also a bunch of things that are right. And if we're not careful, we constantly hear, what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong with you, what's wrong with you, what's wrong with you, what's wrong with you, you don't do this right. And so there's resentment that builds within, and a bitterness surmounts. And somebody says, I just can't take any more of this criticism. So they build a wall. And that bitterness comes in. And I hate it, but there's also physical abuse. Husbands ought not ever be harsh physically toward their wives, nor should wives do it to husbands. And parents, there's a proper way to correct and discipline your children. The Bible says that fathers are not to provoke their children to wrath. In other words, there's a proper there's a controlled way that people ought. And let me tell you something, if you were abused somehow physically, I'm sorry for you. I'm just trying to help you. Don't let that thing make you hate life and hate people. There's emotional abuse, name-calling. Let me tell you all something. Last thing that a child needs to hear is that you're stupid and you're a no-count and you're worthless. If you're not careful, you'll have them convinced of that. All you do is show your mental superiority to your wife or to your husband, or your character superiority to the other, and you'll just make them feel worthless. What will happen? Bitterness. We live in a day and age of sexual abuse. What will happen? It will cause bitterness. Rejection. In marriage, we hurt one another, or lie, or betrayals, and whatever comes. But I'm just here to tell you, folks, you better be careful. Because bitterness is destructive. It's viciously destructive. And let me say to everybody in here, to every victim in here, let me say to everybody, I am not condoning any hurt that's been brought your way. I am not. I'm just trying to get you not to respond the wrong way. Because when you respond the wrong way to those hurts, you will develop a thing called bitterness that is self-destructive. Somebody hurt you from the outside in, and the devil gets you bitter, and that root of bitterness starts to destroy you from the inside out. May I say, greater destruction comes from the inside out than ever comes from the outside in. You say, what do I do? I think what you've described, I face that, and I have this edge on me, and I'm glad you asked what to do. Because the whole intent of what I've said thus far, you give me the next 10 minutes and I'm going to tell you and we're going to be done. Number one, you need to admit that you're bitter. And may I say this right off the bat, a lot of people that are will not admit that it's sin. They won't admit to it. Bitterness is sin. It's listed right by murder. And I can take you to verse after verse after verse that talks about bitterness. And the Bible says, let it be done away. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Psalm 51:3, it says, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through 18, we just read that bitterness is in a list with vicious tongue and murder. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness be put away. Who are you bitter with? Is it mom? Are you bitter with dad? I know this doesn't have to be a person living or a person that's with you. It might be something that happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Are you bitter with an old youth director or a pastor or a friend? Are you bitter with some relative? Are you bitter with God? Is it your husband? Is it your wife? Is it an ex? Let me tell you all something. Every one of you that are married for the second or the third time, the stupidest thing you can do is have bitter and rage towards your ex. And I'm going to tell you why. Because your new marriage needs a strength. Your new marriage does not need to have its roots in hatred and spite and revenge. You say, why? It's going to get out of control. You're not going to just hate that one. It's going to creep out. The reason why you have many failed second and third marriages is because they took with them a bitterness from the first and never got over it, and they carried it to the second and carried it to the third, and the new spouse has to put up with all the mistrust and the hate issues. So you know your pastor's trying to help you. I'm not a novice at what I do. I've been doing this for a long time. You can watch all the psychologists you want to on television, but they will not top the teaching of the Scripture like you're getting today. Bitterness is a sin. You want to call it holding a grudge? It's sin. You want to call it a little animosity? It's sin. Bitterness is sin. And until you admit that bitterness is sin, you're not going to make any progress. See, we want to justify our bitterness by comparing it to what caused it. I've got something better. Why don't you just admit it's sin? You say, well, I have a right to be bitter. Nobody has a right to sin. Bitterness is sin no matter what caused it. We're not talking about the cause. We're talking about your solution. We're talking about your behavior. So number one, easy to remember. Admit it. There's somebody in here right now in your heart. You need to say, okay, it's sin. Bitterness is sin. Now let me give you point number two. And there's only three points. Aren't you happy about that? Point number two. Confess it. Admit it's sin, then you confess it. You say, why are you saying this? Because there's somebody sitting in here right now say, okay, so it's sin. I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm not letting go of it. I'm not getting rid of it. You know how poisoning bitterness has become to a person like that? Okay, I'm bitter.
All right, preacher, you got me. I'm bitter. Never coming back to hear you preach. You got problems. I can't tell you how hard it is to counsel and to deal with people that are bitter. Matter of fact, those of you that tend for bitterness, when I tell you the truth about things, you're going to end up angry with me. Matter of fact, you'll leave the church and you'll end up being my enemy someday. That's what bitterness will do to you. It'll make you so unaware of the real truth and the real root of the problem that it's got to be somebody else because it's dead sure not you. You're always the victim. And the truth is, if you're bitter, you have become the perpetrator. You're the one on the attack. You're the one we ought to watch out for. Everybody relax. We admit it, then we need to confess it. Psalm 32, verse number 5 says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. Don't just admit it's there. Now confess it. You say to who? Number one, you need to get to God and say, God, I've sinned against you. I've been bitter. The Bible says we are to confess our faults then one to another. You say, what? Now, there's not a thing Catholic about me. I do have a father. It's my dad. There's nothing Catholic about me, but the Bible does teach confessing our faults one to another. If you're bitter, you're bitter with someone, there may come a point when you need to render some type of an apology. You say, how do I do that? Well, I better coach you through that just a little bit. Because if you're bitter and you're not real sure how to handle it, you don't walk up to the person with whom you're bitter and say, I just want to let you know, because you're such a jerk and such an idiot, you hurt me and I'm here to apologize because I got bitter about that. You did not help your situation right there. First thing you do is you get to God and say, God, I've let this bitterness out of control. I have justified it because I got hurt and I thought it was okay. I called it everything under the sun. I never wanted to admit it was actually bitterness. Then if the person knows that you're bitter with them, you just give them a call or you talk to them and say, listen, I feel like I've not behaved well towards you. I'd like for you to forgive me. Whether they forgive you or not, that's not the issue. You just say, I've just not acted right towards you. That way you can get this bird off your plate. Now, can I recommend this? If they don't know that you're bitter, don't go to them and say, If you're bitter with me and I don't know it, don't come and say, Pastor, I've just hated your guts forever. And I know you didn't know it, but I just want to get it off my chest. No, you go ahead and deal with that between you and God. I didn't want to know if they don't know, you don't need to go tell them. I was in an old time revival meeting and I watched a pastor get up and the building was packed out. And they have great preaching one night. Nobody in the church moved at the altar call. And I went back the next night. Great preaching. And nobody in that church moved. Nobody went to the altar. Next night, the preacher got up and he preached against bitterness. And he tore into that thing. Finally, we got to the end of the sermon. And I watched one fellow get up from the back of the pew and walk over to another fellow on this side. He went over and he started crying. He put his arms around him. They walked down the aisle together. And all of a sudden, you just watch people getting up from everywhere and coming to the altar. After it was all over with, the pastor told me, he said, those two men have been fighting and bickering and they've been bitter with each other and the whole church had stymied. The whole church was frozen like a rock. They couldn't get anywhere. Tonight, that old boy got right with that old boy and the revival broke loose and everybody started coming and getting right with God. I'm going to tell you something. It needs to be admitted and then it needs to be confessed. And then we can get on with it. There are some of you are miserable in your marriage and you're miserable with your family and you're miserable at work. You're miserable among what friendships you have left and you're going to destroy them sooner or later if you don't get this taken care of. I've tried through the years to protect my heart so when hardship comes that I don't let bitterness creep in because it causes a coldness. Hey, it stops revival. It stops revival in homes. Let me say thirdly. We admit it, we confess it, and then finally, we die to it. We die to it. I'm going to read a verse to you. In Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, it says this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Basically, I'm telling you, you need to die. Not the other person needing to die. You say, well, I'll take care of this dead thing. You and I as Christians are to die so Christ might live. Well, you say, what does that mean? We are to be dead and let Christ live through us. We're to come to the place where we want to behave the way Jesus would behave. We die to what people might say. We die to what people might do. We die to what people might think. We die to the hurts of the past. You say, it's over. It's done. We're to care about what does God think? What does God do? What does God want? We stop worrying about those things of the past. We're to be dead so Jesus can live through us. Hey, dead people don't get their feelings hurt. Dead people don't seek revenge. Dead people don't seek to get back at you. Dead people don't hate. Dead people are not hateful and vengeful. Does Jesus get bitter? Oh no, he can't. That's a sin. If you're behaving like that, you're not like Jesus. In other words, you're alive. You're letting your emotions and you're letting your wants and you're letting your thinking permeate and run your life. You're not supposed to do it that way. Jesus is not asking you to do anything that he didn't already do. Let me prove it to you. Remember when he went through the crucifixion? You say, I didn't get enough time with the people that I loved. Well, Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God had to turn his face away from Jesus. Do you think that Jesus was not disappointed by some leader? The church leaders are the ones that wanted to crucify him. You think he had a lack of approval? He was the Son of God. Perfect, sinless, Lamb of God. You know what they did? They mocked him. Think he went through any physical abuse? They beat him. By the way, if you got beat, you're a sinner. He got beat. He was a Savior, the perfect Lamb of God. You think he went, hey, when you even take sexual abuse, a lot of people don't realize when they took his garment from him, do you understand they stripped him in front of all those people to humiliate him? You think he was rejected by someone? And listen, did he get bitter after everything that he went through? No. What did he do? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And I'm sad for you that somebody hurt you. But the best thing I could tell you is you're going to need to die to it. You're just going to need to say, I forgive. Jesus hated sin. Here's the catch. He did not hate the sinner. If somebody hurt you and sinned against you, it's okay to hate. Not them. Hate sin. You know who your real enemy is? He's got horns and a tail. And it's not Barney, the dinosaur. It's a devil. I want you to hate. I want everybody in this building, as your pastor, I want you to hate. I want you to hate emotional abuse. And I want you to hate sexual abuse. I want you to hate physical abuse. I want you to hate those things, but don't hate people. That's what causes bitterness. It is a lack of maturity to where we hate people for their sin instead of hating sin and loving people. Ever heard someone say a child who is abused is the one that is most apt to abuse their children when they grow up? Can I tell you why? If that child does not learn to hate sin and love the sinner, that child, when they have their own children, will take that child's sin out on that child instead of hating that child's sin and loving the child. You say, what are you telling me? Well, I'm going to tell you this. You continue your bitterness and you will become like the one that hurt you. Why? Well, they must have hurt you not understanding they were to hate your sin, not you, or hate sin and not hate you. I'll tell you a story. I'm going to tell it very, very quickly. A young lady, Mrs. Owens and I had counseled many, many years ago. She had been molested. She had been through, so much. I couldn't even begin to tell you the whole story. She had told the police that her dad had hurt her, and then she denied it and went back on it, and she couldn't get her story straight. We got her saved one day, and Mrs. Owens actually won her to Christ, and she's at my office. She hated all men, just hated all men. I said, well, don't you someday want to have a husband and children? And she said, no, never. And I told her,
I called her name. I said, I have to explain something to you. You have got to care for this bitterness with your dad. I said, you're going to turn into a person like him. Oh my. First, I thought she's angry. She just fell apart. She started weeping. The tears were just streaming through her fingers. She said, no, I can't be like that. I can't be like that. I said, then you have got to learn to hate his sin and stop hating people. I said, somehow you have a grudge against the human race, especially men, because of somebody hurting you. And I never want you hurt, and I never want anybody hurt. But I'm going to tell you, we've got to learn to hate sin and love sinners. That's what Jesus did. Folks, look, if we don't take care of our own personal bitterness, we've allowed something inside us that was inside the people that hurt us. We don't want to reproduce it. I can tell you why a lot of preachers drop out of the ministry. They drop out of the ministry because they get to the point where they start attaching the sin and the sinner, and they start hating people instead of hating people's sin. Right now, God has given me mercy, and I love people. And you're going to hear this preacher rant and rave against sin because I hate sin. If you ever get in trouble, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help people. I'm going to attack sin. Bitterness. There's some of you need to start tearing the wall down. If I can't get you to tear the whole wall down at one setting, can you start taking some bricks out? We'd like to see another part of you. Bitterness. Now, I'm done. We're going to have an altar call. If you're here today and you've never been saved, you won't be able to pull it off on your own. You say, I'm bitter, but I'm unsaved. You're not going to be able to fix it by yourself. You're going to need Jesus to see you through it. That means you need to get saved. Let Christ live in you and through you. I'll show you how in a second. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I've been about 5 minutes longer than usual, but let God work. Let's not put God on a time frame. Who in this building would say, Brother Owens, I'm dealing with maybe some bitterness in my life and in my heart. And God has spoken to me today. He has spoken to my heart about the bitterness. I see hands up already. Would you raise your hand and say, yeah, I've got some of it I've got to deal with. I see those hands. God bless you. We're going to have an altar call. If you need time, you can come and just say, Lord, help me with it. Here's the next question. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you say, I'm not saved, I don't know I'm going to heaven, pray for me, preacher. I don't know I'm born again. I need to be saved. Would you raise your hand right now and say, I don't know I'm saved. I don't even know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I just don't know. There will be people coming. And Brother Steed, help the folks that are ready to come to be ready to come back there. We're going to have an altar call. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need this altar, Christian, if you say, I've got some hurts from the past and somehow I don't get past them, somehow I'm not conquering that in my spirit, I see it. You come. You come and let God deal with your heart. If you need to be saved, you come. You just come. You can fool everybody, but you won't fool God. If you're bitter on the inside, God will know. If you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how. Hey, Christian, is there bitterness in your life?
Some of this can be traced back to your childhood. It can be traced back to 6 days ago, 6 months ago, or 6 years ago. You know something? We don't need a big old splash and decision from anybody, but I will do this. There are people in this building, you need to admit to the sin of bitterness that it's there. You need to confess it to God and say, God, I've just not gotten over it. I still have issues as a result of it. And thirdly, you need to die from here on out. You need to put that behind you. You need to bury it. You need to put it in the past. Let Christ live through you. Bitterness will destroy you from here on out. The quicker, when you see that bitterness start to creep in, the quicker you admit it, confess it, and die to it, the better off you are. The longer you let it linger, the worse it's going to get. One more time through the song, Mrs. Young, there are people yet being dealt with. And thank you. Have a seat.